Regrets? We have a few. This edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is sponsored by Hooters. They have been the presenting sponsor for 9 years now, specific to the restaurants that fall in the original Hooters family. And you can find them at originalhooters.com. Those are also all the locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Easy online ordering there at originalhooters.com. On their Instagram page for the last week, there's been a bunch of nice photos involving their calendar rollout. Some of the ladies in the calendar have waited on me at various stores in the Tampa Bay area. Very exciting time for them. I'd also like to thank Brandon Legal Group for everything they do in my podcast universe, as well as Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Brandon Legal Group would just like to remind you adult males residing in the state of Florida that for some reason continue to make permanent alimony payments. The law has been on your side in the state of Florida now for over 2 years. While you can't stop making those payments simply on your own, if you contact Brandon Legal Group and you ask how permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida for over 2 years, they can take it from there. Free consult, 813-902-3576, or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. Stop paying permanent alimony. Email is right.todd@yahoo.com. And I said on the Todd Wright Toddcast recently, after doing an air check, I would stop always saying the email in succession, at least for now. I said it once. I'm accomplishing my goal. Since the bye weeks kick in, I'm recording this on Thursday lunchtime, so the noon hour, Eastern time on October 2nd. You probably will not hear this until after the Thursday night game is played between the Niners and the Rams. And we have four bye weeks to impact all of us fantasy players this week. So it's just an easy, after also the first month of the season, you know, Tony Dungy was big on play the season in four quarters. Granted, that was in the 16-game season. We're now in a 17-game season. But it's still easy to look back at the first four games, no bye weeks, and kind of see where you're at, where I'm at, where we're at, where my leagues are at. Every NFL team played, maybe all of your players didn't. And I also tried to remove, for the discussion we're going to have here, the players who have disappointed because they got injured, like a George Kittle in the week one game, who was someone that I invested in, me, Mr. Non-Mandatory Tight End, simply because I felt Kittle would have enough big games as putting up wide receiver 1/2 numbers on the Niners this year to justify being a early to mid-round draft pick. Didn't work out for me. But he has the injury as the excuse. Some of who I'm about to talk about do not. And remember, my leagues play standard scoring, yardage-based, 6 points for a rushing touchdown, 6 points for a return touchdown, 6 points for a receiving touchdown, 4 points for a passing touchdown. And you know I've altered kicker points for a long time. If your kicker makes a field goal, it's worth 3. It doesn't matter if it's 180 yards. And I know that's impossible, but so is giving 110%. If he makes an extra point, it's worth 1, and there's no negatives. So the kicker impact, for those who think it's too much with all these 40, 50-yarders going on, you can adjust those in future years and just make every field goal worth 3. If you feel kickers have too much of an impact, or you eliminated kickers from your league years ago, I like having kickers in the league because they're a big part of the game. And sometimes a fantasy game can come down to, did your kicker make or miss a key kick? But it's worth 3. It's not worth 4, not worth 5, not worth 6. It's worth 3 points. Just like an extra point is worth 1. So, based on my scoring settings, which is modernized, no PPR, there's no cheat code here. I like kind of how some fantasy analysts who prefer to play full point PPR, some have played some leagues now, the hedge, half point PPR, but they call it a receiver, a PPR cheat code, because they know they're not going to score a touchdown. They know they're not going to get a lot of yardage, but they might catch a handful of balls. And what you see on the field is not relative to the impact he has in your fantasy game. I want what you watch on the field to be exactly how your fantasy team is impacted. So there is no cheat code. You either score a touchdown, you get yardage, or you don't produce. Every week I talk to you about how many running backs go for 100 yards or more, how many pass catchers go for 100 yards or more, and I ask those of you who stubbornly play PPR, what position needs the bonus points these days? It's running backs, not pass catchers. So, based on total fantasy points in my scoring settings, no cheat codes, no PPR, through 4 weeks of all 32 teams playing, here are some names that stand out for how poorly they have produced for their fantasy owners. And I'm actually going to start way, way, way at the bottom with names that stood out. I'm not going to do them all. And then work my way up. I'm going from number 333. Yeah, that deep. Number 333 to 144. These are all players, if you drafted them, if you own them, or there's just a comment here about, wow, that's bad. Why is it so bad? Number 33 is Cade Otton. He has 6 catches all year. What's interesting about that is, and again, I'm Mr. Non-Mandatory Tight End, but even I, about mid-season last year, picked up Cade Otton, plugged and played him, and got value out of him because Baker had no other options. Okay, Baker hasn't had Godwin the first few weeks, then lost Evans week 3. Bucky Irving has no yards rushing, none, on carries inside the 20-yard line. 112 players in the NFL do. He's not one of them. 0 red zone rushing yards. You got a juggled offensive line. Abuka has been better than we thought, and many of us thought he'd be really good. You know, looking back at our fantasy drafts now, I think we all wanted to take him earlier, but we somehow were afraid, like, well, he's a rookie, not playing like it. The theory here is apparently Josh Grizzard has made Cade Otton disappear. As we question Alvin Kamara's first year, probably last, clock's ticking with Kellen Moore. Does Kellen Moore just not like throwing to the running back? Does Grizzard not like throwing to the tight end? Is there more value for him in tight ends that block? Protect my quarterback. Because Cade Otton has 6 catches through 4 games on a successful Buccaneers team. So in mandatory tight end leagues where you thought Cade Otton, or you've picked up Cade Otton after Mike Evans went down, number 333 in my scoring settings. Let's go up 15 slots to number 318. Another example of how bad it is with the Tennessee Titans and how much the Titans need a new coaching staff. Tyler Lockett, who in recent years, right, was one of those, wow, he's great value, whether you draft him late or pick him up early on waivers, and he's going to come through for you in Seattle. He has fallen off the radar almost as much as Cade Otton with a team switch going to the abyss that is the Tennessee Titans. He's played 136 snaps. He's caught 6 balls. That's Tyler Lockett. You hope for Tyler Lockett. The Titans trade him at the deadline. Maybe they just cut him. But Lockett could certainly have some value as a third down receiver, a red zone type guy for a playoff contender that doesn't have enough healthy bodies. The Niners, perhaps? Moving up to number 301. Some, not me, got excited when Adam Thielen was traded back to Minnesota from Carolina. I didn't. There were some games as Carolina got better, as Bryce Young got better, as Dave Canales got through to Bryce Young on how to make some reads and not keep things so simple for him, where you saw Thielen produce. It's just too far gone at this point. Thielen goes home to Minnesota. He's number 301 in our scoring settings. Even in a first 3 weeks where there was no Jordan Addison, not a factor. Jordan Addison returns is a factor. Jefferson's not putting up numbers. The Vikings have switched quarterbacks. It's just not there. So if you thought it was there with Thielen, it's not. Evan Engram, we're looking for reasons. The Bengals get a lot of the attention outside of the state of New York for why NFL teams that start slow. But the Broncos the last 2 years with Nick's Sean Payton have started slow. And we look for reasons. The Evan Engram from Jacksonville to Denver was supposed to be a big deal. It has not been. And Engram did nurse a bad back, I think, in one game. But does that excuse him being number 299 in my scoring settings? It does not. Travis Hunter, the guy the Jaguars gave up so much to get. We're not giving up on him. The Jags aren't giving up on him. But through the first month, he has 13 receptions. He seems to be impacting the defense more, right? How are the Jags winning games? Kind of a no-name defense. You can name Josh Allen, what, Trevon Walker, and Travis Hunter. I'll do more homework in the coming weeks if I think the Jags are sustainable. Currently, I don't think they are. And ETN, that's it. So Travis Hunter is number 240 in my scoring settings. This past week, week four, 42 receiving yards, season high. He still hasn't scored in any way, in any fashion at all. And we're going to get to something else involving Liam Cohen. Total of 13 receptions for Hunter. Let's give him credit for impacting the defense. But offensively, there's not much there. The Titans and Callahan have also made Chiggy disappear. He's number 233. This was a tight end who came on strong last year that many of you in mandatory tight ends probably thought you could get away with using this year, and he might at some point make sort of a Janu Smith type run. We'll talk about him coming up. Chiggy has 13 receptions, no touchdowns, and he's number 233. So interesting. For those who think Travis Hunter, it isn't that bad. Chiggy in Tennessee has the same number of receptions, 13, and neither of them have a touchdown. Then Janu Smith. The Steelers are winning. They could be 5-1 in a couple of weeks. And with Lamar down for John Harbaugh's not talking about how long. And with all the injuries in Baltimore and an overmatched defensive coordinator, the Steelers may be the play in the AFC North. So we always have to rip Arthur Smith for misusing somebody. Why'd you trade for Janu Smith, Jonnu Smith, whatever, if you weren't going to use him? He's number 228 in my scoring settings. He's caught 14 balls, one touchdown, and I think week one, 66 yards. That's it. Yeah, I know Freiermuth is still the guy. What'd you get this guy for? Granted, they're winning. But considering what a valuable performer was for Smith in Miami and all the shots we take at McDaniel and Tua and the Dolphins, and then they trade him to Pittsburgh, did they just fleece Pittsburgh? Did they just feature Smith and he's not this good anymore? We have another Titan. It's Calvin Ridley. Now, some of you drafted Calvin Ridley in the middle rounds, maybe even a little higher than that. Had a lot of explosive plays last year. Cam Ward likes to throw down the field, as he showed at the University of Miami. Hadn't happened. Week four, he nursed an injury, but prior to that, there didn't appear to be any injury to take him off this list. I show him at number 222 in my scoring settings. In the first 3 weeks, he had a total of 8 catches for 111 yards and no touchdowns. So pretty much everything with the Titans is bad. Everything. Then we get to Matthew Golden, who I drafted. I actually played last week against the Cowboys. Is he mentally all there? Does he have a football IQ? I guess I didn't watch him close enough at Texas. Although A.D. Mitchell played at Texas. Look at that football IQ last week. And there are some things Golden has done the last couple weeks, running out of bounds with open field, spinning right into a massive hit against the Cowboys. LaFleur didn't use him a lot in the first couple of weeks, and then Jaden Reed goes down, so he's out there a little bit more. I don't question the speed. I don't question the skill set. What's going on between his ears? He's number 212. He has 6 rushing attempts. LaFleur's trying to get him involved. Total of 11 receptions. In a 40-40 game against Dallas, a get-right for quarterbacks and pass catchers, it was disappointing. Cooper Kupp, is he another Adam Thielen? Are we living off the past here as they try to hang on with their NFL careers? If Seattle is to really be a factor this year in trying to win the NFC West or more, they need someone better as a number 2 wide receiver than Cooper Kupp, who cannot separate. Number 209 in my scoring settings through 4 weeks. And granted, the first week was bad. We thought after week 2, he might not even be on the team anymore. Some did. It's a total of 15 for 162 and no touchdowns through the first couple of weeks. And I was watching the first half with some friends at one of the original Hooters locations last week. And when Kupp's number is called, it's more of a, whoa, there's Cooper Kupp, rather than there he goes again. Perhaps the next name is the most significant and the one where you don't want to overreact. You're just wondering why the numbers are what they are. Ladd McConkey, on a Charger team that's played well, granted they lost the winless Giants, but they still look like a potential division winner. If Kansas City keeps the door open, they have a head-to-head win against Kansas City. If Denver doesn't get its act together, they're in the mix, right? They went to the playoffs last year. Blew a first-round game against the Texans. McConkey and Herbert had a good thing going last year. It's not going this year. And there's a lot of questions about why. The Chargers, especially through two games, threw more than they ran. Last two games, more Omarion Hampton. But Herbert is still letting it fly. Some of that may be because no Slater, then there was no Alt, or defenses just over-committing to stopping the run. Are they over-committing to McConkey? I don't think so. But McConkey is number 198 in my scoring settings. He was drafted in virtually every fantasy league I know to be a potential starting wide receiver. I'm looking back in my 10-team league and trying to find who took him and where. I won't spend a lot of time on this trying to find it. Usually, I write him down as Ladd. So maybe I can find Ladd instead of finding McConkey. And I cannot. All right. We'll move on. But it's an issue. For those of you who drafted McConkey and see the Chargers' success, you wonder why McConkey isn't a bigger part of it. So his four games have gone 6 catches, 5 catches, 4 catches, 1 catch for 11 yards. And he hasn't scored. Meanwhile, Herbert's numbers are good. Hampton's numbers have come along. Keenan Allen's numbers are good. Quentin Johnston may be that waiver claim. We're reaching right now. Dennis Phillips of ABC Tampa Bay 28 in my league did claim him on waivers either week one, week two, somewhere, and is getting starting value out of Quentin Johnston, who suddenly knows how to catch the ball. Why isn't McConkey catching the ball? Sam Laporta, 195. As Grizzard in Tampa Bay has made Cade Otton disappear to a lesser extent, but still significant for fantasy purposes, the guy I don't like, who was chosen as the play caller in Detroit, as the Detroit has leaned more on the run game and just throwing to Amon-Ra and trying a big play once per half to Jameson Williams, Laporta's not involved. He, in four games, has caught 6, 3, 4, and 3. No touchdowns. The yardage is insignificant. Jerry Jeudy, who had huge weeks last year in Cleveland with Jameis Winston. Jameis is gone. Jeudy's production is gone. We'll see if Dylan Gabriel means anything to this. And maybe it won't be fair to evaluate him against Brian Flores' defense. But Jeudy is 192 in my scoring settings. He's had some drops. We can blame Joe Flacco. We can blame a lot of things here, but Jeudy takes part of the blame. Jeudy's catch count in four games is 5, 4, 1, and 3, and he hasn't scored. T. Higgins, I sort of said to you before, pre-flop, as Gil Alexander would say, I remember talking about T. Higgins and just saying, hey, I owned him. He helped clinch a fantasy championship for me a couple years ago. I just don't ever want to own him again. There's always something to worry about every week. He's one of those players where, jokingly, you can't get a good night's sleep. There's always something around, is T. Higgins okay? Is T. Higgins producing? He's a wide receiver two on his own team. Then Burrow goes down week two. I mean, the bottom has fallen out of the Cincinnati Bengals. That's what this is more than anything else. But it's always something with T. Higgins. So he's number 182 on the season. His numbers for the season kind of are what you drafted him to do in one game. 10 catches, 136 yards, one touchdown. That's a month. And it doesn't look to be getting better. The next two names I'm going to give you illustrate how bad the Chiefs' running game is, how reliant they are on Mahomes getting yards on the ground, and could the Chiefs be a potential destination for Alvin Kamara? Kareem Hunt's number 172 in my scoring settings. He's scored one TD. He has 5 catches on the year. He has a season high of 34 yards. Pacheco is number 168 in my scoring settings. He has a season high of 45 yards rushing. He has scored one touchdown on the year, just like Kareem Hunt, and he has seven grabs. There's nothing going on here. It's not good enough. It's not good enough for your fantasy team. It's a desperation play. And it's not good enough for the Chiefs to make another Super Bowl run. It's part of their problem that they don't have enough going offensively. Devontae Smith, as part of, I trust the Eagles know what they're doing. They just keep winning. They win close games, which I know is more of a positive than the mainstream think it is. The mainstream think it's a flaw. I think it's a positive. But Devontae Smith, for fantasy purposes, in four games has caught 3, 4, 8, and 1. And that week three, he caught 8 for 60 and a touchdown. That's kind of all he's done. I expect it will get better. DJ Moore, I drafted him to be the number one wide receiver in a Ben Johnson offense. And this looks really awkward. I'm open to, if you know a reason why, and Ben Johnson has tried to get DJ Moore the ball. He's given him the ball 6 times on running attempts, whether it's handing him the ball or throwing to him on a lateral. One observation made to me was, there's been many that he doesn't fit what Ben wants to do. Obviously, Adunze does, and perhaps that's why they brought in Luther Burden. But Moore's making over $23 million. That includes next year, where the salary is guaranteed. It doesn't make sense for Moore to be here if Ben Johnson can't get production out of him, and you're paying him that much money. And if Moore is not exactly a fan of Caleb Williams. Moore's number 155 in my fantasy scoring. 6 rushes, 15 yards. He's caught 3, 5, 4, and 4, a total of 1 touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr. We told a lot of you before, very early in our fantasy podcast, whoa. And I love this guy. But despite Liam Cohen taking over the Jaguars, year two has hit Brian Thomas the way year two hit C.J. Stroud last year. And something ain't right. And I don't think it's just defense is taking Thomas away. Do you? I don't hear it. He is getting more defensive attention, especially when you don't have Travis Hunter opposite him, because he's sitting out because he plays more defense the last few weeks. But Brian Thomas is number 150 amongst all players in my scoring settings. 2 rushes, 16 yards, a touchdown in week one. His yardage receiving for the first 4 weeks is what? 1, 4, 2, and 5. It's one of the, with Genty having the breakout game where we're not acknowledging an injury to the player or connected to the player's production, Brian Thomas Jr. is the biggest fantasy flop through 1 month, where you can't use any injury as an excuse. And then I pushed to 144. 150 was kind of where I was going to stop, but 144 had the $20 lottery ticket. Through the first month, the Vrabels have rushed Travion Henderson 26 times, for a total of 97 yards and a touchdown. He's caught 13 balls for 85 and no touchdowns. I think better things are coming, but he hasn't given you enough to justify being a starter for the first month. And Ramondre's just a little bit better than him. Someone in one of my leagues cut Ramondre this past week, and I didn't even put in a claim. So it's just... it's kind of what one offensive – Ramondre had a big week. Hunter Henry had a big week. This past week, Stephon Diggs had a big week. I mean, are we at that point with the Patriots where they have to win with their run defense, their special teams, and one offensive player going off, and you don't know who the player is? Enough for this podcast. The next one we do, we're going to review the positives of this. Players like in the top 50 or just outside it, other than at the quarterback position, who have given you return on draft capital, whether you drafted them early, mid-round, or they've been a late-round steal, which Rob Cabala in one of my leagues got ETN in the 10th round and Judkins in the 12th round, and they both look like terrific pick. He's loaded at running back. In my 12-team league, the Battle of the Network Stars, just a shout out to Rob, playing as Zach Morris from Bayside High. He took Jonathan Taylor in the first round. Taylor through a month is number 6 overall. Genty in round 2, off the big game, big disappointment the first 3 weeks, but up to number 35. Then ETN, he doesn't even need Genty. That's the beauty of it. He could probably move on from Genty. He could trade him if he wanted because he has ETN and Judkins. Taylor, Genty, ETN, Judkins, and in my leagues, you can only play two running backs. You can't flex them. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Why don't you send me your biggest disappointment, and did you already cut him? Did you already sit him? Did you already trade him? Are you keeping them in the lineup? What are you doing? Because we just ran through a bunch of them that in my scoring settings are number 144 all the way down to number 333. Not fun. We'll manage it. We'll figure it out. Let's do it together. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters and Brandon Legal Group.